You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Hey, hey, people. It's your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock, Mim.
Listen, we've been married for 22 years. We keep it real.
We keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
And this is Marriage Takeover. Woo! Hey, listen, we are coming back live to you all. And thank you so much for tuning in. If you are new to the platform, we like to be able to offer you and help you to enrich your marriage with biblical principles and practical resources. So if you are tuning in and this is not your first time, you continue to support us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your support.
And make sure that you hit that subscribe button.
Hit that subscribe button. Tell your friends. Send it out to everybody.
I know. Share. Make sure that you leave a review as well.
Oh, yeah. Tell us how you like us.
And so what we're going to do today is we are going to, number one, we're going to start for prayer. And then we're going to go
We're going to finish up part two of how to build a loving marriage.
Yeah. So if you missed the first session, go back and listen to the first one.
You got to go back and check out the first
one. And then come back and listen to this one.
Ooh, that thing, that got serious. I'm going to be like, pick up at that point. Jesus. That thing was on point. Father, Heavenly Lord God, we bless you. We honor you, oh Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing.
Yes, God.
God, we ask that you just continue to have your way. God, we thank you for the information that you have, that you're allowing us to put out. And God, we thank you for bringing us through all the trials and tribulations that we may be able to testify of your goodness. And God, and if we keep you first and keep you in our marriage, God, the peace that comes with it all. And so, Father God, we just want to say, tell you thank you. Amen. And God, we ask now, Lord, that you continue to be with everyone that is listening. Continue to keep them, strengthen them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that what transpires on the day that someone receive it and be encouraged, oh God. Yes. Someone receive it and receive the answer to their prayers. And Father, we just want to tell you thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us to be instruments being used for you for the kingdom.
Yes.
And God, we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, y'all got to go back and see the first one. Got to that respect thing, oh my God.
Well, just to give just a small short recap, what you have to do is there are some foundational areas think that you should consider when you're building that loving marriage.
Right.
So they're critical. So that was love, respect, honor, and boundaries. Those are kind of the foundational elements. So we covered love, we covered respect, and then we kind of tapped into the honor a little bit. So we have honor and boundaries.
Yeah, honor and boundaries, but I think we got to the respect part.
You gotta go back to the respect part.
Oh my God, I think we need to finish that one. I don't think we dug into this.
So we got into that one though. 1 Peter 3.
Jesus, I forgot my home. 1 Peter 3.
So on 1 Peter 3. And it started kind of at the first verse. I did the first verse, and then we picked up at the seventh verse. And so we'll start at the seventh verse and then kind of work our way down. So, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Are you going to go grab your phone?
Grab
you
it.
Got it? Okay.
Why are you sitting there? You're supposed not to act like I was going somewhere.
Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let them eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Mm-hmm. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was really good how we were able to kind of just tap into understanding how when we aren't aligned and we aren't honoring and we aren't respecting, we aren't loving, we aren't doing those things, how we really are missing out on that blessing. So, we have the honor factor, right? When we went in the last episode, you have to go back to the last episode, where we brought out some of those scriptures where it says that, you know, that we should honor our husbands, where we should submit to our own husbands, where we should make sure that our husbands are reverencing the wife.
Right.
So
and vice versa.
Right. And so now that we're here in the part two, let's break down the honor and the respect when it comes to the different boundaries that you have.
Right.
So how do you build that loving marriage? How do you build that? How do you start that foundation when it comes to honor?
That camera look good. I'm sorry. My bad.
When it comes to honor.
Yes. It's how do you do that? But I think it really, to me, I think it started back in the first session when we talked about love and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because those moments, because if I don't respect you, it's hard to honor you. So even when you look at, even in that same passage where it talks about, and when you look at verse 6 in 1 Peter 3, he says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement, meaning what? She still honored him by calling him Lord. Understand, in that time frame, that was like a custom thing that they did. So it's that honor, like, yo, I know who you are and how it pertains to me. So I want to honor you that way. You know what I mean? Because that comes, because this is the thing that trips me out, is that if you may not be where I am, but I can still honor you because you are a part of me. But oftentimes we miss out on that because we think, because, ooh, Lord Jesus. Because when you take it all the way back to Genesis 2, oh my God. You know what? Let's just go there. Let's just go to Genesis 3. Go to Genesis 3 real quick. I'm just going to show you something. Because, and oftentimes, we miss a lot. We miss a lot where Genesis 3, I'm just trying to find it real quick because it just came to me. And unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy curse. Wait a minute. And Abraham said, because he hearkened to the voice of his wife, and the curse of the same, and thy sorrow, thou shalt eat of the day, thorns and thistles, and the sweat of thy brow shall thy face. And he called his wife Eve, and Abraham said, wait a minute. Trying to find the one, sorry to bring fortune to the desire, that our husband should rule over thee. So this thing go all the way back when you begin to look at why it is so hard. Because you got to go back when sin entered to just to understand why it seems like for the wives to honor their husband and respect their husband. Especially when the wife feel as though they have the upper hand. The reason being is because it goes all the way back when Eve ate of the fruit and then gave it to Adam. The curse didn't come until Adam ate of the fruit. Ooh, why? Because Adam, come on here, that's, I don't want to go too deep off track. But he said unto Adam in Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curse is the ground for thy sake in sorrow, that thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, for out of it ways thou taken. What's thou taken? For dust thou art, for dust thou hast returned. That's not what I was looking for. I'm looking for, oh baby, where is it? Where he says that, and it says, and the woman said, he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow. Because said, wait a minute, where is it where he says to the woman,
you gotta go find
desire?
That
one. Oh my goodness.
You gotta go find that one. Go look in 3, 4, and 5.
No, it's in 3.
So, and that's a good point that he brought up when it comes to being able to honor and to respect, because I was asked this question today by a wife, and she said, you know, how do you respect and still try to submit to your husband when you know that there's more, right? That there is more that could be done.
What do you mean?
So, for example, if you know that you all have been trying to buy a house or wanting to buy a house, right, for a couple of years. Years have gone by, but you haven't bought that house. And you know that there are some key components in some of the reasons and the ways of why you can't buy the house. But because the husband is in his role and you're trying to submit to the husband by honoring him because he thinks that he knows what's best for the family and what's best for the finances and how to lead in that particular area, you kind of shy away from communicating what you see because it takes an offense because of his insecurity, and then also to protect his pride. Then the question goes, well, how many times do we have to sit in the same place renting, throwing away money when I can see what needs to take place, but every time I mention that, it's a problem. So it reminded me of, we were watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith last night. Well, Eric was watching it, and I just happened to be kind of eavesdropping.
Y'all know, if you know us, that's our movie. That is our movie.
Love that movie. And I love it so much because towards the end of the movie where they were together and they were fighting, once they realized that they were both being attacked, they were both being wanted and killed, wanting to be killed, they were both starting to fight. And one part of the movie, she turned around, you know, she was driving. The husband started out driving, right? Mrs. Smith started out driving. And he wasn't doing a really good job at it. So she said...
The part in the van, right.
So she said, let me drive. He was like, no, I got it. Let me drive. So they were able to drive, and she was able to kind of get rid of some of the people that were chasing them.
Right.
So then she kept going, and he was like, you got it? She asked him, you know, you got it? He said, yeah, I got it. She slammed on brakes.
Hold on, wait a minute. She was driving, and she was waiting on him to take out the cars with the gun.
Right.
But then she asked him three times if he had it. But then, go ahead.
And then he said, yeah, I got it. And he didn't get it. So she stopped the vehicle.
No, she slammed on the brakes and
turned the vehicle around, and she got both of them.
Right.
So it goes to show, and men, please hear me when I say this. This is not a knock on you. But when I tell you that women are absolutely phenomenal and amazing, and we can run circles around sometimes what to do, how to do it, and the thought processes, I think the challenge now, because of the sin that Eve did, that we now struggle with who should lead, how should lead, who should be in control,
right.
Who should do things, who should do what. And that's the challenge that we face today.
Right.
So it's always a thin line and a dance. So the response to the question that I gave was, you know what? I don't really ever think that we're going to ever surpass that. The more we submit, the more we humble ourselves, doesn't mean that it's going to take away that pride. It doesn't take away our knowledge. It doesn't take away our abilities. It doesn't take away any of that. But what we do when we are honoring God and when we're praying and we're taking those situations to God on behalf of our husbands, then the things start to shift because we have done what we're supposed to do.
Right. And that, but see, and like, even with that question that you was given, then it comes down to, because sometimes, man, we can be so pig-headed till we can literally miss out on our own blessings that God has given us right there. Because understand, because of our own insecurities, we have to know that what God has given me, we're gonna have some rough times, because those, to me, I like to call those adjustments. Because growth, when you grow, some things have to adjust or even change around you. So if you're saying that I want to be better, then how can you be better and you have a team, but yet you're trying to score all the points?
Right. I don't understand why it's so hard for you to just say you don't know. Why is it so hard for men to say I don't know?
Because I don't know. I say, baby, I don't know what to tell you. Honestly, I don't know, because I have not. Have I ever had that problem?
Oh, yeah.
I did. I had to ask.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not sure, because...
Listen, we ain't always been peaches and cream.
Oh, hey, it ain't always been rainbows and sunshine. Trust me. We done had some storms. Oh, Lord. So I think it's a... Because, I mean, it boils down to a pride issue and a insecurity, because if I don't know the answer, then I might look like what you did not desire.
Or the weaker vessel.
I know, it ain't gonna be, the scripture says against that. But no,
I'm just saying, you might feel like you're weaker because you don't know.
Right. Saying it that way is one way than saying the weaker vessel. Weaker vessel. We ain't saying that now.
So here, ladies, here is an opportunity for us to try to help to change the narrative. So with your husband, if your husband ever says, I don't know, This is not the opportunity for you to badger him. This is not the opportunity to tell him how weak he is. This is not the opportunity to tell him how sorry he is. This is not the opportunity to tell him that he needs to figure it out. That is not this opportunity.
Right.
So if they say, I don't know, okay, well, how can we figure this out together? How can we make this work? Let us try to find somebody who can help us, whether we need to go and sit down and talk to a loan officer in this particular situation. Let's go talk to a loan officer. Let's go see where we are. Let's start the blueprint. Maybe a lot of times you don't know because you haven't really stepped forward to try to figure it out. So let's go talk to a loan officer. Let's set the narrative for where we are and where we need to be. Then we have a goal that we can now start to try to accomplish, right?
Right.
That's number one. Number two is...
Break it down, baby. I love that. Go on, girl.
Is maybe there is a fear of your childhood from when your parents bought a house and they lost the house. Ooh. So let's talk about it. Are there some hidden areas around why we can't have this conversation or why we can't even move forward?
Right. Come on, girl. You saying that thing today.
And then let's talk about all the different benefits that we get the opportunity to now gain mm-hmm. when we do decide to move forward to make the investment.
Right.
And then let's make a decision. If we're going to do it, this is what we're going to do. You talk to the loan officer so you understand what your threshold is. You know where you need to put your monies. You know what bills you need to pay off. You know what you need to raise your credit score to. Then you talked about how what your fears are, what the different things are around you being able to purchase your home.
Uh-huh.
So then let's talk about those different things. Well, you know, if we do this instead of renting, you know, we own our own home. We're going to have to mow our own lawn. We're going to have to fix our own stuff. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those different things that we can do to remove some of those fears?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's do a home warranty. So that we can, you know, make sure that if things fall down or break apart in the house, we have that. So it's not this big dollar amount.
Right. And I think that's the thing that so many couples struggle with is showing that weak side of them. The thing is, you already know it's there. It's just that I got to come into the understanding, hey, okay, that's my weak side. But this is the thing. You can't beat me up where you already know I'm weak.
Right. That's
because
right.
That's not going to do nothing but make me close it off more.
Right.
Or you cannot strip me because you know that's where I'm weak.
Right.
Because then that causes a separation. That began to cause a separation.
And that was why I charged the ladies. This is not that opportunity.
Right.
Because understand that the moment that they admit that I don't know, that is a sign of vulnerability for them.
Right.
And so that's what we have to understand. And then men, you have to understand, okay, so I don't know. So allow your help me to help.
Mm.
So as you build this together, these are the different things and the different components that you get to now pull a piece and pull apart all the different things that are hindering you.
Right.
You understand what the base is. You understand what you need to have. You understand how to remove some of those fears. And then you move. Take
right.
baby steps. You move.
Baby steps. Baby steps. Man, I cannot find that scripture. I think it was a full breakdown that I had. But yeah, but that's the thing, because even in those moments and in those times, man, we got to truly understand, hey, we are a team. So the thing is, because so I'm be honest with it. It's just like what we had mentioned about in part one. On how in 1 Peter saying that if we try and do evil for evil, how our blessings are hindered. Well, it comes down to that. Oh, well, he don't know how to do this, so I'm just gonna go ahead and do it anyway. Why? Because now you're not moving in sync.
Right.
And now how does that bring honor to your husband? Because then you wanna go and look in Proverbs 31. How can your husband how can your children sit up and call you blessed when you never honor the husband?
Right.
So, you know, when you sit back and look at this thing, man, God has it lined up for us to be so blessed, and it really comes down to the awesomest things, which is coming out of love, respect, honor, and also even including boundaries. And so the foundation, because when you're building your foundation, you know that as long as you got love, respect, honor, and all in there, guess what? You have a solid foundation. But one thing I come to recognize, what people would do instead of then, if they built the house knowing that something's wrong, instead of then, or when a storm come in and knock their house to the core, they never recognize that the foundation is still there.
Right.
And so what they'll do, they're just going to buy another house. Meaning what? I'm going to just go ahead and divorce and go find me somebody else.
Right.
No. The fun is in the rebuild. Right. Yeah. Come on here.
I found it.
You found it? Where is it?
Yeah, it's 3:15. The actual verse that you're looking for is 16, but it's like coming from the... So it really is Ephah, y'all. Like, it's Ephah. For whatever reason...
Because...
She knew. For whatever... I don't know. For whatever reason, she stepped outside of... She was disobedient. And because of her sin, we now have to face the fact that our desire... Is and I don't even think our desire is to rule over the man.
No.
Our desire...
That came from because man gave in to Eve to eat of the fruit when he already knew what God had said.
No. But that's what I'm saying is... So my context of what I'm saying is it's not a desire to rule over the man or my husband. It's that I can see beyond what you can see sometimes. I have an intuition that maybe you don't understand or don't feel sometimes. And when I understand this, or because I've been in certain situations where, I don't know, like I could just forward think the process and then work circles around while you're trying to figure out why we should do this one thing. I don't think that had to do with the disobedience. That's not me trying to control.
It's not a disobedience.
That's not me trying to control.
Okay, so now think about it. Uh-huh. Now remember the time before when we was going through.
Hold on. Let's read the scripture first.
Okay, the scripture says, I'm going to do 15. And I will put Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and I desire, and thy desire shall to be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so, meaning that, saying here is that, when you kind of, you got to kind of break down, this is a revelation that I received, because it was a struggle. It's in here somewhere. It's in here somewhere. That's not what I was looking for. But what it is that, because think about it. During the time when we were struggling, and you made the decision, you would make the decision, but then you would carry the pride as though you're running things. You know what I'm saying? Where there was no honor coming to me because of whatever it was. Because I make things happen. I feel you. But that don't mean just because you're able to make it happen does not mean that you got to now begin to dishonor your spouse.
No, it was the same scripture, boo. It's 3:16. It's just a different translation.
Oh.
So in the translation of New Living Translation, it says, then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.
Right.
That, it's just a different translation.
Right, that's it. So, but that's it. See, look, help me. That's right. You just saw it line up, and you saw her still give me honor. You know, this is all. Now you just literally saw it play it out. But look at it, humble and humble still yet to one another.
Right.
What is that? How does that bring humble? It's called because it's love and respect that we still have for one another on how we can be a team to achieve the one common goal, but it's hard to do that if you always so stuck in your own self.
Right. And so you got to get out of the way.
You got to get out of the way, but just with, and to just I'm sorry,
that,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, with that analogy, like with that particular situation, when it's just like, okay, oh my God, I'm ready to go and I'm ready to get my house, but he's not ready. He's not doing the moves. He's just saying it. In this particular regards, how can you honor and respect your husband? And in this situation, while she's not trying to control the husband, she is really trying to control the narrative of the outcome of being able to get the house.
And that's so fine.
In this particular case, it's how do I do it by submitting to my husband without disrespecting him or dishonoring him to say we need to make moves?
Well, it's just like when... Is when I look at this, I look at the same time of when Abraham had slept with the maid, with Sarah's maid, Ishmael. And, but when Isaac was born,
Ishmael was the baby, was the child that was birthed.
Right. That's what
Hagar,
I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, with Hagar. But when Ishmael was in his teen years, I want to say, or might a little bit younger, when Isaac was born. But Sarah was telling Abraham that basically they need to go because they both cannot have the promise. Because the promise was with Sarah. I'm just paraphrasing here. The promise was with Sarah and it wasn't with Hagar. And so what God, it took, because Abraham did not see what Sarah was seeing. So it took God to tell Abraham to listen to Sarah. And so what are you saying is that there are times that we come into that place because, yes, us men could be so pig-headed because sometimes we think we know it all to the point where it's like, dude, hey, listen to your wife because what she's saying is actually valuable.
Right.
And so and that's the thing that we still got to have that piece to come to ourselves. And say, okay, hey, I'm not going to dismiss what you're saying, but let me at least hear you out and to see how we can put it together.
And I think that's when the husband then can honor and respect the wife. And that's where listening and allowing her to become the helpmeet or to be the helpmeet is where it's valuable.
And because honestly, when you are carrying it like that, you are literally not allowing her to play her role. So right. It end up being a hindrance to you when she is your blessing.
And
when
y'all both miss out on the blessing.
And my thing is, why am I going to keep favor quiet? I feel like running off of that one.
It's about your insecurity.
Right. But again, if I still have my insecurities, when I say, because don't get me wrong, you're going to have insecurities. I'm not saying that. But when your wife has shown you that I got you, you can't allow your past hurts to hinder me and to hinder what's going on right now.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, what are we trying to do? But my advice to that woman, or if that woman is having that type of issue, go ahead, do something that you don't normally do, which is what? It's like with you, I know when you serious because she know she's got to show me the numbers. She showed me the numbers and the numbers make sense. I'm like, oh, well, shoot. Because now I know she stepped outside of her area of comfort because she believed in what she was seeing. Maybe I didn't see it the way she saw it, but when she showed me the numbers, it made sense.
But do you think that may come off as being disrespectful?
No, it shouldn't.
So the thin line is if you're dealing with someone who is, I'm the head, I know what's best for the family, and we're going to get a house, but we're not making any moves to get a house. However, we aren't, and if I go outside of that to go and get a pre-qualification or to see where we are, money is.
See, that's it. That's not that. You're not going
to
get
it. So then how do I show the numbers? Because you said your advice to this couple was, and then you went into that, when I'm ready to do something, to show you the numbers. That's what you just said.
Because I know you stepped outside.
That's not the advice to this couple.
No, that's not for them. Okay. But okay, if you ask me for this,
let's really
this is what I would say. Sit your husband down, or I mean, even men, because you know, hopefully you're a team, so you should be talking about everything. But sit your spouse down. You got some pretty eyes. You hear me?
Thank you, baby.
You, oh my God, you
tell
was pretty.
Tell me more about my eyes.
Excuse me. I apologize, everybody. But God dang. Have you ever just sat back and looked at your wife and just told your wife how awesome she looks? Oh my God.
Focus.
I'm trying to get my mind together.
This
glory.
Focus.
So what I'm saying is that
sit them down.
It's like you sit down together. Okay, babe, tell me. I really want a house. Same thing. Hello, this is what she did. She sat me down and said, babe, I really want a house. What is hindering us from getting a house? Say, and she said, and I just mentioned it. She said, no, show me. So I said, okay. And I showed her to it. This is what's hindering us. Okay, so what moves do we need to make now? She didn't say I. She said, what moves do we need to make in order for us to get a house? Because guess what? Once I show her that, I said, okay, well, we need to take care of this. We need to take care of this. We need to take care of this. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you work together, turn to Psalms 133. Because when you work together, God will show you something. And favor will move. And it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When God is seeing that you as a couple are working together as one. Mm-hmm. Because that's what she said. She said, baby, show me what do we need to do. Mm-hmm. Guess what? We got on the same page. I said, well, we need to do this. That means what? If I was shucking and jiving before, I can't shuck and jive now. Because now we about it. And honestly, for us, that's what happened when we made our move just a couple years ago. It was like things that I thought was going to take a long time. It was like done. I mean, the stuff was just dropping off. And I was just like, oh my God, why?
Because we were committed. We were together. We made a decision. We made a choice. We made a decision. And we were
together.
In unity.
And we was unified. Ooh, my hands are
so when he said, because he said, okay, well, this is what we need to do. This is where we need to go. I had to get rid of our cleaning person. I had to get rid of our pest control people. I had to stop going to get my hair done all the time. Like, there were some things we had to do because we had to pay off bills.
Just for the ladies out there, she was going, like, it seemed like every week. So we had to dial that back to a month. So, yeah, she wore braids. And the wig joint.
And the wigs, I would cornrow the stuff up and pop a wig on because the wig would take me a lot further than what I needed to go to the salon.
Right.
So we made the sacrifices to be able to reach the end goal.
Right.
So we set aside money. We saved money. We had to figure out what we were going to do with the current property we were in. So we turned it into investment property.
Right.
Now our kids now have something to be able to, it's generational now.
Right.
They didn't have property to be able to go to. So those blessings, because we were on one of
the court. Let me finish.
The blessings kind of went down and now it's generation.
And he said, as the dew, verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Meaning what? Because we were unified, we were together, we were operating as one. It's so funny. Who knows of a bank messing up because they had to give us money because they messed up? Who does that? Who does that? And it's like, hold on, where is all of this coming from? And then to buy a property way undervalued.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm like, hold on, who does? So when you cannot sit.
We walked into equity.
Yeah.
And
especially at the time when we purchased, it was hard to do. Right. Come on, you know what you do.
Right. I was a realtor, saw a property, saw a couple of different properties. And what you do, you do the backstory. So this was the opportunity where he allowed me to leave because it was my specialty, my area.
Girl, we getting this thing. That's what I'm about to show y'all a thing what to do. Go ahead. No,
right,
tell
but it. That was, so he allowed me to do what I did best so that it would be a blessing and a benefit to the household.
Right. Right. So what's the scripture? When it says submit, I think it's in Psalm. So when you are submitting to one another, Ephesians.
Yeah.
Ephesians 5. So when you are submitting to one another, I am submitting, my weak area is your strength.
Right.
So please take the lead because this was a blessing. She, even though she led, she honored me in every area where she walked into.
Right.
It was her lead. So it was like, hey, honey, is there you, this is such and such. This is my husband, Eric, blah, 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 blah. Do you have anything to say? And you know what I said? Yes, honey, go ahead. That's all I said. Why? Because she's leading. I didn't care how people viewed me. Oh, he must don't know nothing. Nah, she about to bust y'all head. And I am fit to reap the reward of what she is doing by leading.
With a smile.
With a smile.
And that's the beauty of, and I honored him because there were certain things and components he was looking for in the home. I wanted to make sure that every home that we looked had those components. Every home that we walked through, babes, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? That was my way of honoring him through the process. I did the backdrop to find the properties. And then as we went and we walked through those properties, we walked through quite a few properties.
No, not really.
Even one property that we saw, we walked the land and everything.
Oh, yeah, we almost bought that one.
And he was like, no, I ain't feeling that one, babes. And I mean, we went, prayed, laid hands, all of
that. Come on, you know how you do when you're so holy.
But he was like, no, nah, baby, I don't think that's the house. So we kept
pushing.
Going. And so that's how you honor and respect right. God in that
and
process.
And it all comes down to when you have a communication with your guards down.
Yeah.
Because you come into the communication with love and respect. And when you come into the communication with love and respect, honor comes out easy.
Right, because here's the thing, that we are helpmeets for a reason.
Right.
And I think that we are helpmeets for a reason. Where you're weak, the other is strong.
Right.
And that's what we have to understand. And what we need to make sure that we understand as well is when you are weak and when you're being vulnerable, not to trample upon that vulnerability.
Right.
But to be able to honor and restore
right.
and to build up, even with the graces of us being able to have the ability that we have.
Right.
And right? That's just like in the movie yesterday. And it was so funny last night. In the movie, we were they were talking about how many people they had killed. And so he was like, yeah, it was like, you know, how many people have you killed? You know, he was like, I forget, you know, something around 80 something. And, you know, something around there. Though, but, I you know, it's hard to keep count. And she waited for a minute. He said, oh, you don't remember? That's fine. 319. And I was just like, wow. So it was an opportunity for her to even be able to help his vulnerability, but
she punished that joint.
She punished it because it was nope. Yeah, but because she's sure in who she is,
right?
And we normally oftentimes are strivers, right? We normally will be able to accomplish a lot of things that sometimes our spouses aren't able to do.
Right.
So when we are in those positions, it is even more important for us to be able to honor him so that he doesn't feel belittled, so that he
right.
doesn't feel less than.
Because when you understand that when you are honoring one another, you're so too. You are literally, because when you look in Ecclesiastes 4:4-9, it says two are better than one because right. they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up yeah. his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he have no one to help him up. So you got to understand that what she was saying, being able to show you're vulnerable, I'm showing you.
Yeah.
So if you're going to leave me alone, it's going to be hard for me to show my vulnerable side to you again if you're going to take advantage of it.
Right.
Versus being who you are as in covering. Because when you look at, when you look at, I think it's in Ephesians, where it said ahead of every, I'm just paraphrasing, but ahead of every man is Christ, and ahead of Christ is God, ahead of woman is man. It's called the covering.
Right.
It's the covering. Right. So your husband is to cover you, and at the same time of you being to help me, guess what?
You are
as the Christ that is within you, you are his covering. You
yeah.
don't take advantage of his weak spots.
Yeah.
It's just that if he exposed himself, you don't give him a karate kick to the kahunas.
Yeah. right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like that. I honor you. And better than something.
Marriage and ministry is going to be our next segment. So that'll be important.
Sorry, y'all.
And whether you're in ministry or not, but so much so, if you are in ministry, it's important for you to understand that covering takes place on
it
both
is so
sides.
Serious. Oh, man, that's our
because
next segment.
Yeah, that's going to be the next segment, the next podcast. So stay tuned for that one next month. But it's so important for you to understand that.
Yes.
Because
honor
it's
so
vital.
Deep.
And that's
so
how
deep.
You honor.
Right.
And so understand. Go ahead.
No, because
I was
going
to switch gears to boundaries.
Oh, that's what I was getting ready to go to. That's what I was getting ready to say. Because when you honor one another, it is so easy to set your boundaries.
And then to respect those boundaries.
Right.
Yeah.
Because now you have a clear understanding of your boundaries. It's just like I came home one day, you know, and wife was in the garage painting. Oh, my God.
I wasn't just painting. I was spray painting.
Spray painting in the garage.
I am doing a mini remodel of the office, and there were some things that I was changing the colors to so that they could match the color scheme.
With my Trans Am with the T-tops. Anybody that knows these Trans Ams, you know they don't make them anymore. They do not make them anymore.
Honest to God, I thought that I was doing the right thing. Me and my daughter, we went into the garage. I had a cardboard box. I had a one that I had laid out flat so that I could actually spray paint on. And then the other cardboard box I, you know, kind of laid to where it was kind of a barrier. Well, I didn't realize that spray paint, the paint flurries, they kind of get in the air of the, like, wherever you're painting. I didn't have a clue. I didn't realize that the little bitty barrier that I had put up with the cardboard box was doing nothing but laughing at me because all the other little paint flurries from the spray paint that was flying off in the garage was going to then be on his Trans Am.
Oh, my God. It's not a car. It's a Trans Am.
And when he came in that, and when he came home,
I was hot.
He let me know.
Ooh, I was hot. Ooh, I'm still boiling right now.
That was one of the dumbest things that I could have done.
God. Now, I don't know if I didn't hear what I'm saying. I don't know if I said anything that was disrespectful.
He didn't say that it was disrespectful, but it was the tone and his voice.
Ooh,
what are you doing?
God, what are you doing? That's how I said it.
I'm a spray painter.
What about Trans Am? And I'm here,
he was like, really? My car's right here. You didn't want to move my car. You didn't have no respect to my car. I was like, babes, when do I ever move your car? Like, when does that ever happen?
See, and you, everybody.
When I tell you I thought that I did what I was supposed to do to prevent spray paint getting on his car.
Ooh, Lord.
I had no clue.
So in my mind, all barriers had been broken.
Right.
So when the barriers were broken.
But it was a barrier that he had not communicated.
But I just assumed. Oh, you got it, girl. There you go.
But he just assumed.
That was the unspoken expectation.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And we talk about that all the time.
And we talk,
marriages, we have unspoken expectations. And that is how we line up, how we respect, love, and honor, and respect,
Go back and watch the last video.
Right,
we're going to finish
this. Other videos. So, yes, that's where that nugget came from.
Oh, man.
So, it was an unspoken barrier.
Honey. I'm sorry.
We be honest.
I know. I'm sorry. I want the people to know.
So, it was an unspoken boundary that he hadn't communicated to me.
I
was doing the best that I knew how to do.
And with the knowledge that she knew.
Right.
Because I felt disrespected and dishonored because you would literally spray paint next to my Trans Am thinking that this little cardboard box is going to stop everything.
It was taller than that.
Anyway, but what tripped me out was as how apologetic she was. She did not just, because I don't know if y'all know my wife. She was, okay, listen, I said I'm sorry. That's a wrap. But she was like, baby, I am so sorry. I did not know. She said it so many times until it was literally the Lord saying, hello. She don't know. She did not know what spray paint do. And so I came to her. I said, baby, I am so sorry. But when you use spray paint, it fills the air. So no matter where it lands, it's sticking.
I
had to hurry up and clean my, and it was such a blessing in anyway, because the car was dirty. So it had dust on it. So the paint sat on the dust and not on the paint itself.
As we went outside, so he took all the vehicles out of the garage, and then as the garage door was open, I could see then, as the wind and stuff was blowing, how the dust particles, the paint particles were settling. And it was like a gold. I'm sure he does not want his car.
No, it's silver. I don't need gold flakes. No, I do not.
So, but it was a lesson learned only because, again, I didn't know. So I learned something new. And then number two, we made an agreement, setting a new boundary, a new standard.
Right.
To say, okay, well, if you ever, because that was like my first time spray painting in the garage. No, it was second.
Her second time spray painting, but I had everything out.
You had already had the car.
Everything was already out.
He wasn't home when I started this time around. So that was my first time starting spray painting while he was not home. And so I just assumed we did the last one in the garage.
Right. And so she moves her car out. And started painting.
Because
so,
my car was where I used
that section.
Yeah. Yeah, I used that section to actually spray paint what I was painting.
So
what we did was we set a new standard to say, okay, well, if you ever want to spray paint in the future,
right,
and you aren't doing it outside, make sure that all of the vehicles are out of the garage.
Right. And so what tripped me out was that shortly, I think the following day, she had one more piece to paint. So she was just going to paint outside on the driveway. Well, the wind was blowing this way. My truck is sitting over here. I said, hold on, wait a minute, where are you finna paint at? Right here in the driveway. No, and I did not get upset. I just simply said, baby, you don't want to paint in the way that the wind is blowing because it's going to carry your paint away from what you're trying to do.
I don't ever consider those things.
Right.
It's not like I'm a professional painter.
But again, because, and that's where you have to have the respect for one another and right. being able to honor one another, because there are just stuff that we may not know.
Right.
So, of course, I may have that time of having an unspoken expectation because it coincides with an area that you don't normally do.
Right.
And so there are times you may run into those moments, but you got to understand, dang, that was an unexpected, that was an unspoken boundary. So that's what happens when you can come together and communicate so well with one another, being able to talk about those hard moments, you can really communicate your boundaries.
Right. But imagine how small that was, how big it could have festered.
Right.
Because had he come in and, you know, Ooh. Said how stupid and how dumb you are, how you think this and how, and you just don't respect me. You don't respect my things. You don't respect my, and it's a matter of, wait a second. And I'm, you know, kind of in my defense, like, well, what's going on? I could have easily lashed back. Like, it could have went into something bigger.
But it only goes for something that small. It only goes into something bigger when you have unresolved issues.
Right.
So you got to be able to resolve. Sometimes you got to deal with stuff at the core. But you got to be willing to do it. A lot of people are not willing to do it.
Willing to unpack, because it's layers.
It's layers.
You have to be willing to unpack the vulnerable and become vulnerable and be vulnerable and unpack those layers of what you have ignored, what you have stacked onto for all this time.
Right.
And it could have, when I tell you that small thing,
could have
been so big.
Cause so in my, glad we in a good place.
I know.
Because I would have been, ooh, I would have been hot.
In my mind, I didn't do anything wrong.
Ooh, and but she just got my motorcycle too. My baby bought me a brand new engine for my bike.
And in his mind, it was the biggest thing because these are my precious belongings.
Ooh, Lord. Ooh, don't tell me. I mean, my car is, my car worth something, champ.
These are the things that I cherish. And so it could have gone beyond and out of control. So think about that in your household.
Yeah.
What are some of those small things that end up turning into really big huge things?
So you got
because it. There are some unresolved
issues
that you haven't unpacked.
Yeah. So please unpack those things so that you can even in your unpacking, but both have to be willing to listen to one another, no matter how hard it may get or how mad you may think or even how bad it may get. All that stuff, it matters, but it doesn't matter because even while you're talking about it, you can then begin to set certain boundaries. I'm like, hey, no, please don't cross this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You cross this, okay. Because we all have them. And all that is that, and it's just that respect and honor thing.
Yeah, and so as you're setting those boundaries, don't be so don't be so caught up in it's got to be your way because it's your boundary.
Oh no.
Like understand you can't be caught up how in that. To blend.
Right.
So there are some couples where it comes to the privacy of your phones and your laptops. What will you do? There were some couples who don't like to share bank accounts. So understand what those boundaries are.
Right.
Where is the common ground we can get to?
Right.
If you don't want your wife going through your phone or through your laptop, through all your stuff, then what levels of trust are you going to make sure that you're building up so that she doesn't have to think or assume or allow her mind to wonder?
Or what insecurities are you willing to let go of?
Yes.
And that goes both ways for the husband and the wife.
Absolutely.
So it's either there's an insecurity that's causing me to look. But what are you doing that's activating my insecurity that wants me to look?
Right.
And that goes vice versa.
Right.
So you have to set those boundaries because if I have an insecurity, guess what? Then I am going to lose the respect because I'm going to cross the boundary.
Right. And you have to understand that that's your insecurity.
Right.
Have to deal with your insecurity individually.
Individually.
And then be able to bring it to your spouse to say, hey, listen, I realize this.
Right.
And I realize this is an insecurity.
Right.
Can you help me and point it out to me when this takes place? Because I really want to be able to overcome this.
Right. And please, make sure you're not just saying this so that you can take advantage of it. saying this so you can actually become better.
Right. Right. Be a part of it. Like, be the change.
Right. Be the change.
Yeah.
You know, the change you want to see, guess what? It starts with you. Hello. Yeah. Hello.
And then, and even with that, understanding the boundaries around the finances. So if you really are honed on making sure that you all have one joint account and somebody else, your spouse is not, then understand why. So when we were first married, we started out with joint.
Yeah.
And I was the one spending all the money because I didn't have me and arithmetic, it does not, even in business now.
Her math, it ain't good.
Even in business now. I will do all those things and I'll say, hey babes, listen, like I need you to run these numbers. I need you to look at this. And so understanding that when it came to the finances, I just spent. I didn't worry about or concern myself about what was in the account. I was an emotional spender. So got upset or if I got sad,
she went and get some bags.
Spending would make me feel better.
She come home with bags.
And I needed to understand that that wasn't the way that Eric operated. And a part of me was just like, I didn't care. And then... I just didn't care.
Oh, this is a funny...
And
go ahead.
So the accounts were always going into the negative. And so, what was your comment or something? Because I don't think I came out and I led with it. Wow. I think you just said something about before you spend money, check it or something.
Yeah.
Because we were always in the negative. And I was upset because every time I went to go and spend money without checking the account, I would hate to get that decline. And it would be so embarrassing. So, he would say, well, just check it. So, me and my prideful, my foolishness, my crazy self would be like, well, you know, I'm just going to get my own account.
Yep. That's what she said.
Well, guess what? We found out who wasn't good with money.
We found out real quick. And this is how she said it to me. She said it to me. She stayed in the neighborhood. She comes back and says, honey, I think we should get one account. I'm like, why? We need one account. You want us to have separate accounts. Why? She said, because mine's in the negative. Can you put some money over there? No. No. You're in the negative. No. And this is, but it was something that she had. I did not mind us having a joint account.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it was something that she had to learn so that now we can blend our boundaries.
And I understand what my weaknesses are to now come in my vulnerable space and my willingness to change to say, okay, listen, I know now I have this issue.
And then she had to humble herself to what? To come in agreement,
right,
with budgeting and with basically with the finances.
Right.
So understand, we all have areas because honestly, it was hard for me to get a job. Here I am with a degree. It was hard for me to get a job. But here I'm talking, I live with a career coach.
Yes.
I live with a career coach. But I had to humble myself and say, babe, help me. Can you help me with my resume? Can you help me with my interview? The whole nine. And I'm sitting just like her clients. I'm sitting there. I'm taking notes. And she make you do the work. So I'm doing the work. And what tripped me out was that the first interview that I went on after that, guess what? I got it. Shut the door in the front. What do you got to say about that? That's when both of you can actually humble yourselves to come to one another and honor each other.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, yo, if you're gifted when I don't have the gift, I have to lean to you. That's what makes us one.
Right, and a strong one.
A strong, ooh, say that again.
A strong one.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is our time.
I know.
We thank you. So please understand, if you want to build a loving marriage, it's love is number one. Without love, nothing else is really going to matter.
Yes.
Love is your cornerstone for the foundation of your house. And then after love, respect.
Yeah.
Then honor.
Yeah.
And then set your boundaries.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, pray us out, baby.
Lord, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. As these couples have come, we thank you, God, just for their willingness, God, to trust you in us. Their willingness, God, to be able to listen, to be able to take insight. And I pray, God, that you would have given them a revelation.
Yes.
And them listening to this podcast, that you would pour out into their marriage, that you would bless their marriage.
Yes, God.
That you would restore, that you would give wisdom, that you would give insight, that you would help them to define and to understand what respect is, what love is, and to define those boundaries and what honor is, and to help them, God, to be able to do so in love, to do so with grace, to do so in a way that glorifies you, because we understand that our marriage is a representation of who you are, of who you are in this world, who you are for us, who you are and how you're coming back for your bride. And God, we want to make sure that when they see our marriage, that they see that representation of you, that they see that love, that they see that patience, that they see the joy, that they see the Holy Spirit resonating and residing in us and through us. That they see, God, that we are patient, that we are kind, that we are not doing evil for evil, and that we are having no evil and no guile in our mouth against one another.
Yes, God.
Lord, help us to be that representation of how you designed and crafted our marriage.
Yes, God. Yes.
And let it be an example, and let it be a testimony for others to be able to witness, to want to know you, to want to get to understand you, to want to get to have that in experience.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Bless them, keep them, watch over them in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 We thank you for
wait. So if you want to connect with us, all things social media, Marriage Takeover. Also, if you want to connect with us via email, you have an idea about the show, or if you want to be interviewed on the show, send us an email, marriagetakeover@gmail.com, and then also check out the website, www.marriagetakeover.com.
Boom. So we thank you. That is our time, and we thank you for yours. I'm your boy, E-Rock Nim.
I'm your girl, Tamika.
This is Marriage Takeover, signing off.
Signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.